Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the film Baby Driver. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Jill. How are you doing?
Did you like Baby Driver?
Well, I rather did, but I also have somewhat mixed feelings about it. And therein, I suppose, lies a tale. This is certainly one of the summer's big hits, and most critics who have so far opined about it, I have liked it very much, not all of them. I find it an interesting example of a kind of movie where you have, where I have at least, a tremendous admiration for its craft, but recognizing at the same time that it really has nothing particularly of significance to say. And that always is a kind of a tricky position to be in, because, I mean, if we were talking about, like, let's say, painting, we could talk about certain kinds of painting, like, say, abstract expressionism, where we're not expecting it to be a painting of anything. And so we might say, well, therefore, it has nothing to say. But, of course, the very choice of making that kind of painting and the very emergence of that kind of painting as a phenomenon in the world has a great deal to tell us. And so it's kind of that way with Baby Driver. In a way, it's a sort of an action painting. It's full of color and splash and dash, and since it's a movie and not a painting, you know, movement and rhythm and things like that. But I wonder if it really has anything to say which is interesting or even meaningful. And so I'm sort of still a bit on the fence about that. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the movie itself. Baby Driver was written and directed by the very talented British filmmaker Edgar Wright. And I guess that he sort of made his first big splash with Shaun of the Dead quite a number of years ago, a movie I'm not a big fan of, but it's kind of a fun movie, a fun horror comedy, Shaun of the Dead, which came out over a dozen years ago. And then more recently, he made a movie called The World's End, and also back around 7 years ago, Hot Fuzz, which was a comedy that I really thought was quite clever. And a lot of fun. And he often works with the same sort of people. Now he has made a very American movie. It takes place in Atlanta, Georgia, a Baby Driver. And it is about a guy, a driver. He is a driver. He is a getaway driver, in fact. And his nickname is Baby. One of the things about this movie is that everybody has nicknames, and the nicknames are kind of part of the dialogue, and they become sort of, in a way, a kind of a part of the plot of the movie, or kind of a subplot of the movie. So Baby Driver is, that is how he is known in the film, and he is a getaway driver, and he works for a character whose name is Doc, another nickname, played by Kevin Spacey. And what Baby Driver does is, he drives. He is a phenomenal driver. And in fact, one of the things that first made me a little suspicious of this movie at the very beginning was that, true to the sort of genre that it falls into, it's a heist movie and a getaway movie and an action movie. It starts off with a very frenetic car chase. And it is so frenetic that it gets so far away from what could happen in real life driving that it becomes pretty much like sort of like an old fashioned animated cartoon. You could be watching a Roadrunner movie or something. The physics of it are so astonishing. Now, it is an interesting fact, which I must now reveal here, that the apparently all of these stunts, these driving stunts and so forth, were filmed as real stunts. That is, they were actually done and not generated with computer-generated imagery and that sort of thing. So here I'm saying on the one hand that these stunts look like that they look like they could never possibly happen, and yet in fact they were actually filmed actually on roads with real cars and so forth. So, but there is no contradiction there because of what you can do with the magic of editing, especially nowadays when people can edit films on very sophisticated electronic digital systems. So you can take things that you actually filmed with the real physical objects in front of a real physical camera in the real world, and you can put them together in ways that create impossibilities. And that is what happens here. So again, much of the movie is rather like this, although in different ways. It is very implausible. None of these things could really happen. And yet, you know, there is a certain grounding in the real actual world that kind of keeps it all sort of compelling to watch. So we have our main character, Baby, who is this getaway driver, and he is capable of driving his car in ways that appear to be fantastic, and in fact, I would argue, are totally fantastical. And he works for Kevin Spacey, who is a ruthless, although very controlled character. He's one of these extremely evil people who always wears an impeccable suit and always speaks in impeccable tones, but who is, of course, capable of carrying out the most extraordinary kinds of evil. And then there are other members of Doc's gang. And it is one of his trademarks that he always, every job has a different team, except for Baby, who he regards as his lucky charm. And all of the jobs work partly because Baby is always the driver. But in fact, the gang that we see in the first big heist of the movie at the very beginning does return much later on in the film. And we know that that's going to happen because there are some stars involved in that gang, namely John Hamm of Mad Men fame from East. Still, that's his primary credential. Plays a very, very mean guy named Buddy, and Jamie Foxx plays a guy named Bats, and so forth. So this is the gang we see at the beginning of the movie, and then they return again much later along in the movie. And in fact, the character of Buddy, played by John Hamm, who, by the way, could not be more unlike Don Draper from Mad Men. This Buddy is somebody with the grizzled jowls and a nasty manner and all kinds of evil things that he does, and he becomes the chief villain of the movie near the end. If Kevin Spacey plays the controlled, impeccably dressed villain, John Hamm plays the grizzled, very nastily dressed and very nastily behaving villain, who you can tell he's a villain just by looking at him. And again, other characters, Jamie Foxx and so forth, are in there. Then, of course, there's always a love interest. And the main love interest, there is a love interest bad woman who is Buddy's girlfriend, whose name is Monica, but there is also a very sweet love interest for Baby, played by Lily James, and her name is Deborah, and her name also figures very prominently in the movie. So what we have here is Baby meets Deborah. He meets Deborah, the adorable young waitress in a diner. He meets her and they hit it off right away, partly because of their shared interest in music, which I have to get back to in just a moment. And so Baby really wants to get out of the bad life and get together with this very sweet young woman named Deborah, whom he has just met and who is so sweet and pretty and adorable, and she is obviously just the girl for him. And he is obviously just the boy for her, but first he has to get out of the bad life. So that is the other kind of movie which Baby Driver is. It is the one last job movie. Within the heist film, which is, of course, a subgenre of the crime thriller, we have the one last job movie. And these are so common. And there are one last job westerns and one last job, all kinds of crime movies. And so it turns out that Baby is very much in debt to his employer, Doc. But he still has a little bit of that debt to pay off, and one last job will finally finish his obligation, and then he can get out of the bad guy business and run off, we think, with Deborah to live happily ever after. But of course, things are never that simple. Doc really is a bad guy, and even after Baby's debt is paid off, Doc wants to keep him around, and therein lies one of the fundamental conflicts of the movie. Is Baby somehow going to escape the evil clutches of Doc after he pulls off that one last job and run off with Baby, and they will live, run off with Deborah, and they will have a live ever or not? Now, the other really huge ingredient in this movie, which I gotta mention now because it's over everything, is music. Baby's thing is that he listens to music all the time. He always has his little iPod earbuds plugged into his ears. Only rarely do they come out over the course of the whole film. They do come out from time to time, but not very often. And he is always listening to music, and he has particular music that he has to listen to at particular times. And this all turns out to be related to something that happened when he was a child, which is that both of his parents died in a horrible car accident when he himself was in the back seat. So his driving ability is hooked in with that, and the sort of emptiness in his life is sort of hooked in with that, and also his passion for music and his need to constantly have music pumping into his ears is connected with that. And that leads up to one of the big incidents at the climax of the film, which I will certainly not give away. So, one of my colleagues, Richard Brody in The New Yorker, has called Baby Driver an example of the virtual musical, and he's exactly right about that. I'm just borrowing Richard's term, because, in fact, the movie reminds me in some ways, now here's a real golden oldie, of Easy Rider, which was another movie, which it wasn't that people were listening to music all the way through it, but that there was music on the soundtrack just over and over again. And it was popular music, and it was popular music of the era. So Baby Driver is fairly eclectic in its musical tastes. There is talk about Barbara Streisand, and there's a little bit of music from that sort of era in the film. But mainly, it's the kind of music that young folks today would be listening to on their own iPods. And it is on the soundtrack of the movie almost continually. And it's very often it is in the ears of Baby, and other times it's coming from other sources, but it's pretty much always there. And in fact, one of the things that Baby and Deborah, as I've mentioned, bond over very early in the film is music and musical taste and so forth. And at times there are arguments with people about music in the film, and music is just all over the thing. So, as for my original message about this movie, as an act of craft, it is absolutely extraordinary. It's also a kind of act of craft, which quite a number of filmmakers are doing. Film reminded me a lot of some of Danny Boyle's films. And I'm thinking, first of all, of Slumdog Millionaire, which quite a few years ago sort of, I think, set this kind of movie making into high gear, this kind of movie making, this high flash, high octane, constant cutting. Well, I mean, in one way, it goes back to MTV very much. But I think Slumdog Millionaire set it into a whole new sort of trajectory. And some of Danny Boyle's very recent work has been continuing this. And I think he's responsible for the current, to some extent, for the current vogue for this kind of filmmaking. And also Edgar Wright has been doing this sort of thing. Shaun of the Dead is this kind of movie. Hot Fuzz is this kind of movie. So it's not all that original. What Baby Driver is it's a real act of it is virtuosity just right there before your eyes and ears. The cutting of it, the rhythms of it, the colors of it, it is snappy, 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 and it is almost exactly right. And it is so deeply ingrained that even though I said it's not a very original movie, it has something which I never have noticed before to quite this extent. Even literally the gunshots, of which there are many in this heist movie, the gunshots are cut along with the music track and the visual rhythms, so that you have this sort of complex multi, sort of polyrhythm going on, these multiple rhythms going at the same time, which actually extend right down to the gunshots. So this is, again, it's beautifully done, one might even say brilliantly done, brilliant in the sense of flash and dazzlement, rather than in any sort of depth. And again, that's the problem with the movie. It's not just that there isn't any sort of depth. I wonder if there is any sort of anything in it aside from that flash, that pizzazz, that snazziness, which is almost relentless and actually becomes a bit tiring after a while. I really enjoyed watching Baby Driver quite a bit of the way through. And a big reason for this is also that along with all those tremendous rhythms of the soundtrack and the image track and so forth and the way they go together, there are the narrative rhythms, the way that there are just the lines and the developments and the little plot twists along the way, exactly when they're needed to sort of pull you back in and keep you interested in the characters. But after a while, that starts to wear thin. And by the time we get to the last scenes of the movie, we're now in pure action movie territory, pure crime movie territory. People are shooting each other down, and as often with so many of today's postmodernist movies, they ultimately turn into excuses to have a lot of people shooting bullets at each other. And then the movie gets sort of dull, and I even kind of lost my real interest in the characters themselves. But most of the way through, I did enjoy the movie a lot. And for maybe about the first 2/3, I enjoyed it tremendously, just as an act of eye and ear boggling virtuosity. Also, the acting is really good, and I want to mention again, Ansel Elgort is just marvelous as Baby. There is a young actor, I think, with a terrific future. John Hamm, it's fun to watch him do something so different. I have not mentioned Isaac Gonzalez as Darling, who is very, very fine. Lily James, wonderful as Deborah. Kevin Spacey, excellent, doing the kind of thing he does well as Doc. And I got to mention that Baby has an old foster father, an old man in a wheelchair who can't hear, the music irony there, played by C.J. Jones, also quite wonderful. So a beautifully acted movie, a beautifully directed movie, up to a point, a beautifully written movie, but I just don't think there's anything there below the surface. And if there were, it would be a great movie. But alas, in the final analysis, it ain't. And there is my somewhat ambivalent story this week, Joe.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the film Baby Driver.